Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Grace Comes From Hearing podcast. This is Wayne Floyd, your host, and I'm out here in the extremely hot desert of Arizona trying to record this. Sorry that I didn't get an episode out yesterday. I just was not able to gather myself together on Labor Day. I was pretty busy with my wife, actually pretty busy over the weekend as it was. Notice that I didn't get an episode out till Sunday night. So again, with not being able to get that together, it made no sense for me to try to jam in everything this morning before work. So I'm going to do a combined episode again. I don't plan on making this a regular thing. We'll see how I work the weekends. Maybe I'll do a combined episodes or combined reading, do a single episode and combined readings. But again, I'm going to do combined readings. I'm going to do both yesterday's and today's readings out of McShane's Bible reading plan that he created for his congregation back in the, I think it was 1800s. I said 1842, I think is the date I remember. But we're going to go ahead and start. I'm not going to try to do all the different devotionals and all that stuff. We'll do our regular, Puritan prayers, resting on God and grace in trials. And then we'll do the third day morning being this morning was Tuesday morning, third day morning. We will do that when it's God, creator and controller. So let's go ahead and get started with our reading. So like I said, resting on God, as I've always said, the resting on God and grace and trials prayers in the Valley of Vision. And again, I would recommend, please go get a hard copy of it and please do some reading through there. There's even actually a reading plan where you read three different prayers out of it a day at different times through the day. And it exposes you to all of it. And I've done that before. Very, very helpful. These are wonderful prayers. These are very, very godly men that wrote these. And it has helped me be able to put into word and therefore better grasp hold of my thoughts about things or my thoughts that should have been shaped by Scripture. It helps me to better scripturally shape and shape my worldview that way. So again, we're going to start with resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. And now grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross. by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. And now, third day morning, God, Creator and Controller. Most High God, the universe with all its myriad creatures is thine, made by thy word, upheld by thy power, governed by thy will. But thou art also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. Thou hast been mindful of us, hast visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage. The Holy Spirit, the joyful gospel, the Savior of souls, we come to thee in Jesus' name. Make mention of his righteousness only. Plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honorable. May we be justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up his cross and follow him. May the agency of thy grace prepare us for thy dispensations. Make us willing that thou shouldst choose our inheritance and determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those afflictions which are necessary. When we are tempted to wander, hedge up our way. Excite in us abhorrence of sin. Wean us from the present evil world. Assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick and the sun will always shine. Amen. And now the morning reading for September 6th from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's morning and evening devotionals. The scripture for the morning is, and like I said, morning September 6th, is Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We use lights to make manifest. A Christian man should so shine in his life that a person could not live with him a week without knowing the gospel. His conversion should be such that all who are about him should clearly perceive whose he is and whom he serves, and should see the image of Jesus reflected in his daily actions. Lights are intended for guidance. We are to help those around us who are in the dark. We are to hold forth to them the word of life. We are to point sinners to the Savior and the weary to a divine resting place. Men sometimes read their Bibles and fail to understand them. We should be ready, like Philip, to instruct the inquirer in the meaning of God's word, the way of salvation, and the life of godliness. Lights are also used for warning. On our rocks and shoals, a lighthouse is sure to be erected. Christian men should know that there are many false lights shown everywhere in the world, and therefore the right light is needed. The wreckers of Satan are always abroad, tempting the ungodly to sin under the name of pleasure. They hoist the wrong light, be it ours to put up the true light upon every dangerous rock, to point out every sin and tell what it leads to, that so we may be clear of the blood of all men, shining as lights in the world. Lights also have a very cheering influence, and so have Christians. A Christian ought to be a comforter, with kind words on his lips and sympathy in his heart. He should carry sunshine wherever he goes and diffuse happiness around him. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be, and with words that help and heal, would thy life in mine reveal, and with actions bold and meek, would for Christ my Savior speak. And that's the end. And again, I would also recommend you can get Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional relatively inexpensively in a hard copy. And I would definitely recommend you get that and do both the morning and evening devotionals. They've been very, very beneficial to me. And now we will start with our Bible reading. So we are going to be, like I said, we're going to be combining multiples together, multiple days together. So we're going to start reading in the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to read 1 Samuel 29, 30, and 31. All right. Then the Philistines gathered together all their camps to Aphek, while the Israelites were camping by the spring, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines were proceeding on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were proceeding on in the rear with Achish. Then the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me these days, or rather these years? And I have found no fault in him from the day he deserted to me to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Make the man return, that he may return to his place where you have assigned him. And do not let him go down to battle with us, or in the battle he may become an adversary to us. For with what could this man make himself acceptable to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of these men? Is this not David of whom they sing in the dances, saying, 'Saul has struck his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said to him, "As Yahweh lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me and the camp are pleasing in my sight. For I have not found evil in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, you are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord's. So now return and go in peace, that you may not do evil in the sight of the lords of the Philistines." And David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And what have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" But Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are pleasing in my sight, like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He must not go up with us to the battle.' So now, arise early in the morning with the servants of your lord who have come with you, and as soon as you have arisen early in the morning and have light, go." So David arose early, he and his men, to go in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. 1 Samuel 30. Then it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and had struck Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They did not put anyone to death, and carried them off and went their way. Then David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. So David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people said to stone him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in Yahweh his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Please bring the ephod near to me." So Abiathar brought the ephod near to David. And David asked of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?" And he said to him, "Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely deliver all." So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him. and they came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor, remained behind. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate. And they provided him water to drink. And they gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins, and he ate. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, a slave of an Amalekite, and my master forsook me when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev of the Cherethites, and on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Then David said to him, will you bring me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me, my God, that you will not put me to death or surrender me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band." So he brought him down, and behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and celebrating because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David struck them down from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David delivered all that the Amalekites had taken and delivered his two wives. Indeed, nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. And David took all the sheep and the cattle which the people drove ahead of the other livestock. And they said, "This is David's spoil." Then David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also remained at the brook Besor. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And David approached the people and greeted them. Then all the evil and vile men among those who went with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have delivered, except to every man his wife and his children, but that they may lead them away and depart." Then David said, "You must not do so, my brothers, with what Yahweh has given us, who has kept us and given into our hand the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter? For as is the portion of the one who goes down to the battle, so shall the portion be of the one who remains by the baggage. They shall be apportioned together." So it has been from that day forward that he made it a statute and a judgment for Israel to this day. Then David came to Ziklag and sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Behold, a gift for you from the spoil of the enemies of Yahweh." To those who were in Bethel, and to those who were in Ramoth of the Negev, and to those who were in Jatir, and to those who were in Aroer, and to those who were in Sifmoth, and to those who were in Eshtemoah, and to those who were in Rakal, and to those who were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to those who were in the cities of the Kenites, and to those who were in Hormah, and to those who were in Bor Ashan, and to those who were in Athak, and to those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men went about. In 1 Samuel 31, "Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines closely pursued Saul and his sons, and the Philistines struck down Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. And the battle became heavy against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw your sword and pierce me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and pierce me through and abuse me.' But his armor bearer was not willing, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. Then his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, so he also fell on his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died with his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men on that day together. Then the men of Israel, who were on the other side of the valley, with those who were beyond the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead. So they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. Now it happened on the next day that the Philistines came to strip the slain, and they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Then they cut off his head and stripped off his weapon and sent them all around the land of the Philistines to proclaim the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. And they placed his weapons in the house of Ashtaroth and fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Then the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul. So all the valiant men arose and walked all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. All right. Now we're going to shift to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be reading 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Just a minute. All right. 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages has arrived. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to prudent people. You judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but that of the other person. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's as well as its fullness. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this is meat consecrated to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. I do not mean your own conscience, but the other person's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with gratefulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. In 1 Corinthians 11, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying shames his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying shames her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut short. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut short or her head shaved, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. But all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered?
Excuse me.
Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given to her for a covering. But if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together in the same place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. For do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was being betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must test himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will direct when I come. And now we're going to be moving to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be reading Ezekiel 8 and 9. Ezekiel 8 and 9. All right, Ezekiel 8. Now it happened in the sixth year, on the fifth day of the sixth month, as I was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of Lord Yahweh fell on me there. Then I looked, and behold, a likeness as the appearance of one on fire. From his loins and downward there was the appearance of fire, and from his loins and upwards the appearance of brightness, like the gleam of glowing metal. He sent forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of my head, And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the figure of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the appearance which I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, raise your eyes now toward the north. So I raised my eyes towards the north, and behold, to the north of the altar gate was this figure of jealousy at the entrance. And he said to me, Son of man, are you seeing what they are doing? The great abominations which the house of Israel is doing here, so that I would be far from my sanctuary. But yet you will see still greater abominations. Then he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, now dig through the wall. So I dug through the wall, and behold, an entrance. And he said to me, Go in and see the evil abominations that they are doing here. So I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creeping things and beasts and detestable things, with all the idols of the house of Israel, were carved on the wall all around. Standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel, with Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing among them, each man with his censer in his hand, and the fragrance of the cloud of incense rising. Then he said to me, Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each man in the room of his carved images? For they say, Yahweh does not see us. Yahweh has forsaken the land. And he said to me, Yet you will see still greater abominations which they are doing. Then he brought me to the entrance of the gate of the house of Yahweh, which was toward the north. And behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. He said to me, Do you see this, son of man? Yet you will see still greater abominations than these. Then he brought me into the inner court of the house of Yahweh. And behold, at the entrance to the temple of Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of Yahweh, and their faces towards the east, and they were prostrating themselves eastward toward the sun. He said to me, Do you see this, son of man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to do the abominations which they have done here, that they have filled the land with violence and provoked me to anger still more? For behold, they are sending forth the twig to their nose. Therefore I also will do this in wrath. My eye will have no pity, nor will I spare, and they will cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet I will not listen to them. And Ezekiel 9. Then he cried out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, Draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men were coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen, with a scribe's case at his loins. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the house of Yahweh. And he called to the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the scribe's case. Yahweh said to him, Go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being done in its midst. But to the other he said in my hearing, Go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity, and do not spare. Kill to utter destruction old men, chosen men, virgins, little ones, and women. But do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the house. And he said to them, Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. Thus they went out and struck down the people in the city. Now it happened as they were striking the people, and I alone remained, that I fell on my face and cried out and said, Alas, Lord Yahweh, are you destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with bloodshed, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh does not see. But as for me, my eyes will have no pity. nor will I spare, but I will put their way upon their heads. Then behold, the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the scribe's case, responded with a word, saying, I have done just as you have commanded me. And now we're going to be moving over to the book of Psalms. We'll be reading Psalms 46, Psalm 47, and Psalm 48. So Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its lofty pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be shaken. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations roar, the kingdoms shake. He gives his voice, the earth melts. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, who has appointed desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts up the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all people. Make a loud shout to God with the sound of a shout of joy. For Yahweh Most High is fearsome, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has ascended with a loud shout, Yahweh with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The nobles of the peoples have assembled themselves with the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And finally, Psalm 48. Great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. God in her palaces has made himself known as a stronghold. For behold, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together. They saw it. Then they were astonished. They were dismayed. They fled in alarm. Panic seized them there, anguish as of a woman in childbirth. With the east wind, you break the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of Yahweh of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. We have thought on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go around her. Count her towers, consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces, that you may recount it to the next generation. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us over death. Amen. And those are our readings for yesterday and today. So again, I'm very, very sorry that I wasn't able to get it together to do an episode yesterday morning and an episode this morning. Please do look for an episode tomorrow morning. I do have every intention of getting up and first thing doing an episode before I start work. So please be looking for that. Again, I want you to know that the purpose behind this is not just for me to hear my own voice. Again, and I know I keep repeating myself, but it's that critical that I'm putting this out there to help you, to expose your, and actually it helps me as well, but to help you expose yourself more to the Word of God, to have the Word of God before you more and more. This is critical in our world today and critical among those who are saved. And it is my sole desire to be able to bring the gospel to the people of the world. That is my sole desire. And so my hope is that through this reading, I would expose more and more, both saved and unsaved, to the Word of God, and expose them more and more to the Word of God, so that they would be immersed in it. And for the saved, that it would narrow down the road. It would keep them on the narrow road. It would build them up. It would equip them. It would edify them. And for the unsaved, that more and more it would show them, and more, as it did for me, it would take their knee, their legs out from under them. It would put them on their knees in true humility and true humbleness to realize that they cannot save themselves, that we cannot save ourselves. None of us can. That the only thing that saves us is the grace of God, that he worked through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. That is all that can save us. And everybody needs saving. There's not a one of you out there that doesn't. There's none of us that will ever have enough self-righteousness to get into heaven. It'll never happen. There's no amount of tasks you can do. Honestly, there's no amount of penance you can do. And y'all know who I'm speaking to when I say that. There's no amount of penance you can do to pay the price yourselves. Not in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't happen. So that's why I'm putting the word out here. I want to help you be more and more in the Word every day. It becomes more and more critical the worse this world gets. And as bad as it seems now, it'll get worse. It really will. And I truly am a believer that the United States has been given over due to its lawlessness, whether you want to agree with me or not, the sexual revolution and the way our society has charged into sexual promiscuity and the way it has ran the way it has as far as homosexuality and transgenderism and transsexualism and on and on, we are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah ever were. We are worse than Babylon ever was. And God crushed them. And he's given us over. I mean, it is truly my opinion and not mine alone that he has withdrawn his common grace from our country. Thus why you have the shooting gallery that's going on in Chicago every weekend. The mass attacks and horrific crime going on in New York, the homeless encampments piling up outside of schools where they're doing drugs because the state's providing the drug addicts the drugs and the paraphernalia, as ridiculous as that sounds. God has given us over. We have got to be in the Word, and that's why I'm putting this out there. And I pray, though I will never know it, and that's fine, because it's for the glory of God. It has nothing to do with me. If you never know my name, that's perfectly fine. I know I give it at the beginning of the episode. I'm just trying to say hello. But it's not for me, and it's not about me. This is about God. This is about having a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I would beg you, if you do not have a saving faith, even if you're just not sure, I would beg you to get on your knees and pray and come to God in true humility and let him know and say, God, please send your Holy Spirit to take my sin from me, to work in me so I come and I mortify my sin and leave it at the foot of the cross and repent and walk away and come to a saving faith. And I would pray that work would be done in you so that you would be saved. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for finally working working with me and squaring me away to where I could sit down and actually record this episode in this reading. And Lord, I would pray again that that none of this is about me, that it's all about you. And it's all about getting your word out there. It's all about bringing the gospel to the world, to everyone. And dear Lord, I would pray that this time reading, this time putting this podcast out, that not only that it edifies me, but that it edifies those out there, that it breaks down the worldly barriers to those that are not saved, so that all of us truly turn to you and beg your forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, go about your evening, and I'll see you again tomorrow morning. For the few that are actually listening, I'll see you again tomorrow morning, and you have a blessed evening. God bless you.